You would please be opening your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 1, just a few moments we'll be reading from that opening. We are oftentimes blessed to have a number of visitors to gather with us to be in our midst, and today is certainly no exception. We thank you for being here, and you are an encouragement to us, and we hope that we can be an encouragement back to you, and that our time together would be pleasantly and profitably spent, that God would be glorified, that He would be pleased with our worship before Him this good day. The words Mary, Mary, quite contrary, I think typically take our minds to a childhood nursery rhyme about a girl and her growing garden. But this morning I want us to consider something more fruitful. I want us to think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I want us to notice from the Bible how she was, in fact, quite contrary, but in a good way. Remember, that word contrary simply means opposite in nature or character, to be different. And I want you to notice with me three ways, and I believe this was true, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was opposite. She was different. In that sense, she was contrary. First of all, when told she would give birth to the Son of God, Mary, I feel, was contrary in that she actually believed. She accepted this truth. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to Mary, a virgin. And then verse 28, upon arrival, Gabriel says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." He's speaking directly to Mary. He refers to her as the highly favored one. He continues, "The Lord is with you." Then he says, "Blessed are you among women." Of course, Mary's troubled at his saying. Then the angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And what does the angel say about this Jesus, the son of Mary, to be born? Verse 32, "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Wow, what a message. This virgin Mary is told she'll bring forth a son that would be great, would be the Son of the Highest, would have a throne, would reign on his kingdom. Verse 34, Mary said, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Gabriel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And then he went on and he explained how Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, had also conceived. And how with God, verse 37, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary's response, verse 38, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And so Mary has received this wonderful news. And then she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, verse 40. Verse 41, "When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" No way Mary could have been expecting the news that she received from the angel Gabriel. But when it was told her what she would do in bringing forth the Son of God, she accepted this remarkable, amazing truth. She trusted in God. And she trusted in the ability of God to do as He said. And good for Elizabeth, because she believed and accepted it as well. Verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." That's how Mary sees this news. In other words, she's saying, I am good with this. I accept this. I understand what you're saying. I am ready to glorify you in this manner, O God. Mary accepts it. She's good with it. And then verse 45 again, Elizabeth of Mary refers to her as blessed. Blessed is she who what? Blessed is she who believed. That's what's being set apart here. The fact that she believed. Her belief was contrary, no doubt, to what others would think, what many still today would think. But in context, it was so contrary to the unbelief of Zacharias earlier in this very chapter. You remember when Zacharias was told that his barren wife Elizabeth would bear a child? He did not initially accept it, did he? Look back with me, verses 11 through 20. Zacharias is performing priestly duties in the temple. And Gabriel appeared to him, verse 11. And when Zacharias saw him, verse 12, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. Verse 13, Gabriel said, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he, John, this son that would be born to Zacharias and Elizabeth, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said, verse 18, How shall I know this? In other words, give me a sign. For I'm an old man, my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. Why? Because you did not believe. Unlike Mary, contrary to Mary, Zacharias did not believe, Gabriel says, my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And so now this man would be mute until after the birth of his son, John. Why again? Because you did not believe my words. You think about the difference here between Mary and Gabriel bringing the news to her about the child she would bear. And Zacharias and Gabriel bringing the news to him about the child that Elizabeth would bear, which should have been harder to believe? That a virgin would bear a child? Or that a previously barren woman would now bear a child? The more difficult would have been Mary's news, and yet she readily accepted. Zacharias did not. Years later, you think about disbelief, unbelief. Thomas would struggle to believe in the resurrected Redeemer. In John 20, verses 24 through 29, following the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, we read verse 24, Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he, that's Thomas, said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace to you. Then he, that's Jesus, said to Thomas, Reach your finger here. And look in my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas, don't be like Zacharias when he received the news. Be like Mary when she received the news. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those, Thomas, who walk by faith, not by sight. Again, appreciate the contrast. Mary is told she'll bring forth this child. She did not have to wait for the ultrasound to be convinced. By faith, God said it, so be it. Mary's belief, contrary, yes, to the masses of our generation. Those who deny the 6 days of creation. Those who deny the worldwide flood in the days of Noah. Those who deny the virgin birth, eternal damnation of the wicked in hell. Those who deny baptism for salvation. They're unbelieving. They fail to have that trust in God. They stand opposed to God's highly favored one. She who was blessed among women. Tragically, the unbelievers are opposed to soul-saving truth. Mary, Mary, commendable thing, was quite contrary. But secondly, she was contrary in that she praised. She praised not self, but she praised God. Back to Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. Her visit with Elizabeth. Verse 46, Mary said, My soul, listen, magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He, speaking of God, has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Who's done all this? God has done this. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich, He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. There are religious groups today who want to hold Mary on this pedestal and they want to worship and praise and even pray to Mary. Mary didn't see that to be the case, nor did God. Look again where she's putting the praise, where she's putting the emphasis upon the Lord. She's magnifying God, the Him, the He, the His. So much unlike, you talk about contrary, the rich fool of Luke 12. Me, my, look what I have done. Not the attitude of Mary. No, my soul magnifies the Lord. I praise the Lord with all my heart. Mary praises God for what He had done. She praises God for what He was doing. She praises God for what He would yet do. And as for Mary's estimation of herself, verse 48, a lowly servant. She's humbling herself. And thus God will exalt her. Her estimation of God, He's Savior, mighty, holy, merciful. God is to be feared. It is God who is strong provider. Dear brethren, do we exalt, honor, magnify, and adore our Maker as we should? Appreciate those good songs Wyatt has led us in this day. Where we have in song done that very thing. We've glorified God and taught and admonished one another about the need for such. You go back to the 92nd Psalm. Look at Psalm 92 and verse 1. The psalmist declares, It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High. What we've done in our worship, falling on our face before the Creator of the universe and praising, glorifying Him, it's a good thing. You see it again, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. Whose name? The name of God. Reverence, awe, esteem for our Creator. Psalm 138, verse 1. Psalm 138, the psalmist says in verse 1, I will praise You with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to You. Come to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter tells Christians, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Membership has its privileges, yes. Look at all those. It also has its responsibilities, its obligations. What comes with the territory? Keep reading. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God forever. Last book of the Bible, Revelation 7, verse 12, these words, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Time and again throughout the Scriptures, you'll see these reminders to praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, He is certainly worthy. Now, to how many of us is Mary's praise of God contrary? Acts chapter 12, it was contrary to Herod. You remember Acts the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 23? Notice the arrogance, the lack of humility on the part of the king. Acts 12, verse 20, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king's personal aid, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. Here he is in his royal garb, esteemed on his throne, speaking to the crowd. Verse 22, notice the crowd's response. The people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not a man. This was not a one-time event, folks. That word kept. Let that clue you in. This is going on and on and on. They're continuing to shout and to praise Him as to be a God and not a man. Rather than have that humble disposition of Peter when he went to Cornelius in Acts 10 and say, stand up, I too am a man. Hush, I'm not a God. No. He was lapping it up. And then immediately an angel of the Lord struck Herod, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. Tragic. Heart issue. Wanted the praise, the esteem to himself, did not give glory to God. See that today? From the sports world to the political arena and everywhere in between, ours is a love of self society. Contrary Mary got it right. Magnify the Lord. Praise God. Always. But thirdly and finally, Mary was quite contrary in the things she pondered. Look with me, please, Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 19, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Jesus is laid in a manger. And in the same country, shepherds out in the fields were watching their flock. Angel of the Lord stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Verse 10, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Peace would come. The Savior would be born. Mary ponders this, dwells upon this. Go to verse 41. Fast forward to the time Jesus is now 12 years old. Luke 2:41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished, at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he, that's Jesus, at the age of 12, verse 49, said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother, latter part of verse 51, his mother kept all these things where? In her Mary kept these things. She meditated upon them. She gave serious thought to them. At his birth, yes, those shepherds report of Jesus being the Savior, the good tidings, the great joy he would bring. And here at the age of 12, the temple scene among the teachers, his astonishing understanding, his answers being about his Father's business. She was taking note. Exciting, encouraging, eternal events were taking place, and Mary wasn't about to miss it. She was taking it in. This wasn't a mom simply remembering her child's first tooth. His first word. His first step. Those are special, but this all the more so. This was much greater, and Mary rightly and respectfully regarded it. Mary's pondering, her appreciation for things of a divine, heavenly nature. So contrary to Stephen's audience, Acts chapter 7, Acts 7 verses 54 through 60, Stephen was simply telling them the truth and showing their need to repent. But when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stop their ears. They would not hear. They ran at Stephen with one accord. They cast him out of the city. They stoned him. Verse 60, he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow, that occasion and what was taking place and the truth that was being taught, divine revelation being made known, they should have been all ears. They should have been ready to meditate, to ponder the message, but no, not interested. Would not reflect, would not examine, would not consider, would not ponder. See the contrast? So very sad. And even today, how contrary Mary appears to those who just have no time for God. Those who would say, now you know, Sunday's my day. Those who give little, if any, thought to the fact that life is a vapor. That God is to be feared. That God is to be obeyed. That judgment is coming. Dear friend, upon what things do you ponder? What things are you keeping in the depths of your heart? What is near and dear? It of vital importance to you. Is it those things that are true, noble, and just? Those things that are pure and lovely, of good report? Those things that are virtuous? Those things that are praiseworthy? I hope so. If not, make it those. Philippians 4, verse 8. Upon those we're to meditate, we're to ponder. Yes, Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how her example should grow. May we always believe, praise, and ponder according to God's will. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Appreciate your good attention this morning. I hope these things have been of help to us all. God loves you. God has graciously offered His Son for you, that we can enjoy eternal life with Him in heaven. If that's what you're about, we commend you for it. Stay on the straight and narrow. But if I'm talking to one or more here today that's never submitted their life in obedience to the will of God, you have now, you have this opportunity. If you're accountable before God, you're in your sin, you ought to feel the guilt of that. We'd hope you'd feel shame for that. We'd hope you would desire to have a relationship and enjoy fellowship with God and with His Son and with the faithful few. And again, because of His grace, His love, His mercy, you can. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can come this day believing that Jesus is the Christ. You can repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. Praise God for His plan of salvation. You can go on and be faithful unto death, and you can look forward to the crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. If I'm talking to a child of God, you've wandered astray. You're not continuing faithfully. Your need is just as urgent as the alien sinner. You need to repent of your sin, confess your fault, pray God for forgiveness. What if you say, well, I'm going to? When? You have no guarantee of it tomorrow. Take your minds to those folks in Maui. No idea what would come upon them in that day. Here today, gone tomorrow. Dear friend, it could be true with you. If your life's not right, make it right. Let us help you by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.